Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Confirmation is an important milestone, especially in the life of a young person. There's a certain feeling of pride and of accomplishment that comes from having completed a systematic course of study in God's Word, and then of being able to stand in front of your family and your church family and to make some pretty serious and grown-up promises about being faithful to God's Word and faithfully using God's Word from now on and for the rest of your life. And of course, probably the most wonderful blessing about confirmation is that you are then invited by your church family to receive together with them the Lord's Supper, in which Jesus gives you his true body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. But as wonderful as confirmation is and all the blessings that we receive from confirmation and for those of us who are gathered to witness this event today, there is also a certain danger present in confirmation. It's the danger that confirmation can be viewed almost as a kind of graduation, where we might be tempted to think to ourselves, I put in all that hard work and effort to study for the last several months or years, and now I don't have to worry about that anymore. But what we have been studying is God's very word to us. We don't ever want to get to that point in our lives where we feel that we can just put that to the side and not really think about it anymore. And that's why the words of the Apostle Paul to his student and friend Timothy and to us today in our sermon text are so fitting for this Confirmation Sunday. Not just for these three young men who are being confirmed today, but for all of us here present today. In those words, the Apostle Paul encourages Timothy and he encourages all of us to continue in what you have learned. Continue to grow in your faith in Jesus as your Savior. Young adults, older adults, and children all alike need to take to heart and to learn from these words of the Apostle Paul. From the time of our baptism, whether that was when we were a little baby or sometime later in our lives, we have been nourished in our faith. And God continued to nourish our faith after our baptism as we went to hear his word and worship service at church, and as we attended Sunday school and adult Bible studies. That nourishment of our faith for these young confirmands today continued in their preparation for confirmation, as we spent a period of time in systematic study of the truths of God's Word. In our reading for today, the Apostle Paul seeks to keep us on that way of growth in faith and in our spiritual lives. God's Word is the power that develops our faith and our faith lives in Jesus. Think about what happens when you unplug an electronic appliance from the wall outlet. Think about perhaps your refrigerator. If you went and unplugged your refrigerator secretly, you didn't tell the rest of your family, eventually they would find out, right? Because the temperature in the refrigerator would start to change, and if you left it unplugged long enough, the food inside would eventually spoil and not be able to be eaten. Well, that same kind of thing happens if our faith is not connected to God's Word. Faith does not mature and grow without nourishment. And we find and receive that nourishment in God's Word, just as Timothy did. Surely we Christians do not want to be indifferent about feeding and nourishing our faith in Jesus, do we? We need to remind ourselves that we need a regular diet of God's Word. God's Word, baptism, and the Lord's Supper not only bring us into faith in Jesus, but they keep us in faith in Jesus. If we're willing to work hard at our jobs or at our schoolwork, if we insist as parents that our children study hard in school, we surely need to put the same attention and devotion and interest also in spiritual things that will keep our faith strong. Our continued success in our faith lives is far more important than any success in school or in business, because our faith in Jesus leads to eternal life and not just to rewards or benefits in this temporary earthly life. In our sermon text that we just heard, the Apostle Paul praises Timothy for continuing in the wisdom that comes from the Holy Scriptures, the Bible. We also know that same wisdom. It's the precious gospel message of Jesus, the message of the salvation that Jesus won for us by his death on the cross. God's word tells us that the whole world stood under God's judgment, convicted of sin. God's word tells us that there was no hope for humankind on its own. Our sin, our rebellion against God's will, against his commandments, some of which we heard explained to us in the essays this morning, our sin had cut us off totally from God and from his love and mercy and blessings. But God's word also tells us the good news. Thanks be to God, Jesus, true God himself, came down from heaven in order to redeem us from our sins, in order to rescue us from that hopeless condition that we were in because of our sins. This is the true wisdom of God that the Apostle Paul talks about. God sent his only Son to rescue us from the power of sin and death and hell. Jesus gathered up all the world's guilt and sin, its death, its judgment under God, and he bore that on himself to death on the cross. He paid the punishment for all of our sin and guilt. He won forgiveness of sins for all of us and for the whole world. Jesus reconciled us to God the Father so that now instead of being under the judgment of God's punishment for our sins, instead we are now at peace with God. We know that he loves us. We know that he loves us more than any other person on this earth, even more than our own parents love us. God the Father loves us dearly and promises to hear and answer our prayers. We know the wonderful promise that Jesus gave to us, that he has prepared a place for us by his side, in his Father's house, for eternal life with him in heaven. This good news is the true wisdom that comes from God. The wisdom and knowledge that we should desire above all other kinds of wisdom. When we were baptized, God planted faith in our hearts. And by his word, God has nourished and continues to nourish that faith in our hearts. When we use God's word, whether it's here at church or at home for our personal devotions, we are meeting our Lord and Savior Jesus face to face. God's book, the Bible, is not a dead, lifeless book. It's not just a religious dictionary or religious history text. Rather, God's word is living. It builds us up. It grows and strengthens us in our faith and lives. God's word, the Bible, conveys to us the good news. You are forgiven through Jesus. You are God's dearly loved child. God speaks life to us in the Bible. God's Holy Spirit moves mightily in our minds and in our hearts as we read his word. As Paul said in our reading, from childhood, even from infancy, Timothy had known and had listened to the Holy Scriptures, which at that time were the books of what we now call the Old Testament. We and our children are truly wise when we also hear and learn and read God's word, the Bible. In today's world, we are often concerned about the food that we eat, about whether it's safe to eat, and we're concerned about all the chemical additives, preservatives, and other things that are in our food. We're concerned about how those things will affect ourselves and our own health and also our children as they grow. And so we're concerned about getting the best quality food so that we'll not do any damage to our own bodies or the bodies of our children. God's word is pure food for our souls, for every Christian, for adult and child alike. When we take in God's word, we know that we're not getting anything impure that could harm our spiritual lives or our souls. We know that we're getting what is the very best for our souls and for eternal life with God. There is no better nutrition for us than the Holy Scriptures, the Bible. We know in God's word there are no chemical additives that might do harm to us and our lives of faith. In God's word, instead, we can eat our fill of the bread of life, of Jesus himself and the good news that he is our Savior. Through God's word, we grow and develop and mature in our lives as Christian men and women. And so let us continue to nurture and nourish ourselves and our children and our families with God's word. To parents here today especially, God has given us the responsibility and the joyful privilege of sharing with our children this blessed good news of forgiveness and love and mercy through Jesus. As parents, we put so much focus often on helping our children with their homework, on making sure that they're getting a good education so that they can read and write and do math and learn about science. But that isn't really or shouldn't be the most important concern for us as parents. Helping them to meet and to know their Savior Jesus is our most important concern. And so when our children see the importance that we place on God's word, then there will be no doubt for them as to what is the most important in our life. When they see how much we treasure God's word and how much we treasure the Lord's Supper, then we know that they will not be spiritually illiterate, stumbling through life, trying to understand what really is best for them. But then they will know that saving faith is more than just head knowledge, more than just knowing facts about the Bible and about the stories and persons contained in those stories. They'll know that saving faith is heart knowledge. It's not enough that we simply learn historical facts and the events recorded in the Bible, but heart knowledge seizes those blessings and promises of Jesus and makes them our own. Heart knowledge cries out in faith, his promises are for me. These promises are mine. When we regularly use God's word in our households and train our children in the eternal truths of God's love and forgiveness, then we know that we are preparing them not just for success in this life, but for an eternal life of heavenly blessings with God. Paul's encouragement also to the Christians in the city of Colossae in Colossians chapter 3 is of the utmost importance for us and for our homes and families. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Colossians, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Blessed is the home, the church, and in fact the whole nation whose families are well grounded in these saving truths of God's word. And so may the Bible be a well-worn and well-used book in all of our homes and in our families. Our goal for ourselves and for our children is spiritual maturity. Spiritually immature Christians lose out in life on many of the promises that God has in store for us. They might not have the strength to serve others or to carry their own crosses in life that God has given them. When we read God's word, we see that Jesus calls us to be childlike in our faith, not to be childish in our faith. To be childish is to act below our age level and our maturity level, to act below our level of capability. But to be childlike in our faith means to maintain a simple trust without any of the doubts or skepticism of the unbelieving world around us, but a simple trust in Jesus as our Savior and in all the truths of God's word, a simple trust in our loving, gracious, forgiving Heavenly Father. So the Apostle Paul tells us to continue in what we have learned from God's word. Spiritual growth in a childlike faith is an ongoing, a continuing process of maturity throughout our lives that comes from the regular use in our lives of God's word. If, as parents again, if our children, we notice that either physically or emotionally or psychologically that they might not seem to be growing properly or hitting all the milestones for their age level, we would get pretty concerned. We would hurry to find out what is wrong and take them to some specialist who can help us to diagnose the problem and to address the problem that they're facing. Christian parents also feel the same way about their children's spiritual lives, about their children's growth in faith and in understanding of God's word. By God's grace, all of us, children and parents alike, will constantly be growing to full maturity in faith in Jesus our Savior. God's word also tells us that the Christian life is a life of never-ending spiritual warfare. Our three great spiritual enemies of sin, death, and the devil are constantly hounding us throughout our life, trying to lead us away from God and his word and faith in Jesus, hoping to lead us to eternal death in hell. And so as Christians, we know that during this life, until we reach eternal life with God in heaven, we can never just sit back and relax and say, I've made it. I don't need the Bible anymore. I don't need to continue to hear and read God's word anymore. I already know it all. No, we need to keep growing in God's word every day throughout our lives until that time when God himself calls us to his side in heaven. And so this very day, we can share with our families the rich treasure trove of God's word. As we sit at home around our family table, God's people, parents and children, can share his precious truths and promises of love and forgiveness and blessing with each other. May God give us the commitment to lead ourselves and, if we are parents, to lead our families into his word for blessing and growth in our spiritual lives. As the Apostle Paul exhorted Timothy in our reading today, let us also, especially our young confirmands and all of us, continue in what we have learned about our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen.